Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and a reminder that Cornel West kicks off the next New York Conversation Series in the Green Space on Tuesday, May 5th. The ideals of democracy, the dynamics of race, the presidency of Barack Obama. It's all open for discussion. For tickets, go to wnyc.org/thegreenspace. And for us here in the New York City metro area, the president's concern for cities seems much greater than any president in decades. One small example, just this weekend, his Housing and Urban Development Secretary, Sean Donovan, was in New York to promise more money and help for New York City public housing.
We're here today celebrating a new deal for public housing in New York and a new deal for public housing around this country. You will see released in a few weeks when we put out the details of President Obama's budget proposal, for the first time in 8 years, a commitment to full funding of the operating subsidy for public housing.
We heard the wow in the background. Sean Donovan, of course, was Mayor Bloomberg's housing secretary before, or housing commissioner before he was tapped by President Obama. So that's one nod to cities right there. When's the last time you heard anybody talking about spending more money on public housing? But what's the big picture? Let's hear from Dayo Olopade, political reporter for TheRoot.com, who has a piece called What Happened to the Office of Urban Policy, and Walter Fields, who is publisher and executive editor of NorthStarNews.com, a New York-based website focusing mostly on news and issues that affect black communities. Dayo, thank you for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you. It's fantastic to be here, Brian.
And Walter Fields, always great to talk to you. Welcome back.
Good morning, Brian. How are you doing?
Good. Walter, you want to reflect first on that appearance by Sean Donovan and what it represents?
Well, you know, I think it represents a promising start. It's been a long time since the word urban could be spoken in the White House. And I think that this president is setting a new tone in the White House, and certainly we're encouraged by some of his early moves. Clearly, there's still a lot of work to do, and I think, you know, one of the issues is this Office of Urban Policy and when that will be fulfilled. But given what we've seen thus far, we certainly have a different sort of president with a different sensibility towards urban America.
Different sort of president, different sort of sensibility, Dayo?
I think that's correct. Certainly the president is someone who's from a city, not just Chicago, but also Honolulu, a metropolitan area, lived in Jakarta in Indonesia, someone who feels a sort of sympathy for the pace of urban life and believes very strongly that things that are happening in cities are happening across the country. He tried to turn his attention to an Office of Urban Policy as part of his campaign. Urbanists were very pleased with that, but it turns out that, you know, as the 100 days have expired here, the office has not gotten moving nearly as quickly as someone would have hoped. And further, a lot of folks like Sean Donovan, wonderful folks, New Yorkers, so you should be happy of representation, are actually almost crowding out the mandate of the office, as my reporting shows.
Almost crowding out the mandate of the Office of Urban Policy. Explain what that means.
It means that Sean Donovan is from New York. Arne Duncan, the education secretary, is from Chicago. Nancy Sutley, who's head of the Council on Environmental Quality, is from Los Angeles, was deputy mayor there. All of these people already sort of, you know, are looking to advance the urban agenda. And the office itself within the White House is actually has fewer staffers than you would expect, or comparable offices, like the Office of Faith, for example, has more people working in more agencies. And so you have almost too many cooks. And the office isn't as powerful, doesn't have as much regulatory authority, doesn't have as much funding authority as you would expect to really, in this time of recession, stand up for cities.
Well, you know, I'll bet a lot of listeners are wondering right now, gee, what is this Office of Urban Policy? I never even heard of the Office of Urban Policy.
Right.
This is a new thing that President Obama promised to create and is, in fact, in the process of creating, right?
That's correct. He announced during the campaign that he would have an office in his White House for the first time ever that would be dedicated to this new idea of human geography, which is how we get to work, how we live in our communities, whether we live close to work, whether we ride bikes or commute, where we get our food from, how air quality and public health issues interact with education policy, how we deal with housing and it relates to education policy. So this whole interwoven web of ideas that are happening in the city space because cities are so populous. And, you know, cities across the country are changing. Pittsburgh is very different from Denver, is very different from Sacramento. And so having an office that can look closely at these, determine best practices in all of these different cities, and make recommendations taken from the local level on the federal level was a great idea. It's just not really, you know, a priority when you have AIG in Afghanistan to worry about.
Things going too slow for you, Walter Fields, with the Office of Urban Affairs, Urban Policy?
I think there has been some crowding out by the economic crisis. That's clear. His first priority in assuming office has been to deal with our recession. So that's understood. I think the challenge, as just described, is the interconnectedness of the federal bureaucracy. You know, how do you coordinate multiple agencies across platforms that all have some role in urban issues? You know, we have a Department of Housing and Urban Development. We have the Environmental Protection Agency. All of these agencies touch upon issues that affect our cities, and our cities have changed tremendously. You know, at one time, you could almost paint them with a broad brush, but our cities are very differently. Just on the two coasts, you know, east and west, we see different pictures of urban America. So I think this urban, you know, czar was a good idea. I think it's always difficult to put it in practice. So I think the president has a tall order in figuring out how his administration is going to hone in on those key issues that he identified during the campaign as being important, not just to America's cities, but to the nation's well-being as a whole.
Listeners, how's President Obama doing for the New York metropolitan area? How's he doing for cities in general? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show from our website. I hope no one expected 8 years of mess to be cleaned up in the first 100 days. Someone else writes, the real test is what direction Obama takes after these trillions are spent and the stimulus plan has failed. One day we will have to face our situation, but that day won't come until we have played more of our hand, such as spending these trillions. Walter Fields from NorthstarNews.com with us, and Daya Olapati from TheRoot.com, talking about the president and cities. Walter, on the policy level, what kinds of things do you look for most in terms of being good for New York?
Well, I think any issue that deals with housing, particularly public housing, you know, we have a crisis in public housing in New York City. We have a housing crisis where the focus has been on homeowners and not much attention paid to renters, where in a place like New York, that becomes critical. I think policies that move people into training or retraining for this new economy that's emerging are critical. One of the things that the president did do, which was, you know, very important in the economic stimulus package, was include a provision for young adults, you know, so-called disconnected youth. I think that for a city like New York, where there are estimated to be 200,000 young adults who are out of school and out of work between ages 16 and 24, that's an important measure to include. I think he has to move forward on issues in terms of, you know, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, the green economy and whether or not we can really use, you know, environmentally sensitive jobs as a way to rebuild our economy. In a place like New York, that could have a tremendous impact. But it's still too early to tell. I think for the most part, we all have to take a step back because we've been so fixated on this 100-day benchmark. And we have an administration that doesn't even have all of its positions filled in these government agencies. So in many ways, we have to back up somewhat and really look at priorities moving forward, given the crisis that this president has been dealt. And the fact that, as one of your writers to the site just realized, we can't clean up 8 years in 100 days. So some of this will require significant, you know, patience, but also accountability. We should definitely hold the administration accountable for those commitments it made prior to assuming office.
Dio, you made a distinction in your post between the term urban affairs and urban policy. And you said you're disappointed that the White House has started to switch from saying urban policy to saying urban affairs. What's the distinction there?
Right. Well, the Domestic Policy Council is the main, it's, you know, the heart and soul of the White House in terms of policymaking. It is a place where the laws are written and legislative affairs takes them to Congress. And this is all very technical, but it does make a difference that the Office of Urban Affairs and the Director of Urban Affairs are not appointed to the Domestic Policy Council. There is a staffer, Derek Douglas, who is working on policy in conjunction with others. But being really a part of the policy arm of the White House is where all of the legislative strength lies. And so for Urban Affairs to be, you know, essentially a collection of desks within the White House where people are just talking to mayors and making sure they feel good is not the same as being in the room when you're drafting legislation, whether it's, you know, for energy projects or transportation projects or whether it's for health health issues. So I think that, you know, it is commendable that the office exists. But we've not seen, you know, any tangibles, and certainly my reporting hasn't shown that these directors of the office are in the room strongly advocating for cities. I did get the chance to speak with Obama's senior advisor, Valerie Jarrett, yesterday, and she, like Obama, is a city dweller, said it was, you know, quote, near and dear to her heart, but they just are still in the data-gathering mode where they're trying to talk to cities across the country, finding out if there's an innovative project like in New York City with the housing issue. And I have to say another part of the issue might be Adolfo Carrión, because it is, as I mentioned in the story, a national project that he's dealing with, something that is from coast to coast. And this is an individual who I'm sure you're familiar with. He was the Bronx Borough President for several years.
Of course.
And now has a national mandate to deal with cities like Milwaukee, cities like Tampa. I mean, it's just a whole huge project that a few of the folks I spoke to seemed worried that Carrión would be able to pull that off.
Barry in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello, Barry.
How you doing?
All right.
Basically, it's about all of the different offices that we have involved. In New York City, the New York City Housing Authority has, say, for instance, the Section 8 program. NYCHA has its own Section 8 program. One of the things that has to happen, so we have to make sure that those dollars go to those programs and make sure that they're funded so that they can do basically what they're supposed to do, which is to put people in, you know, in subsidized housing so that they can, you know, they get an opportunity to get on their feet and get themselves together.
Right. Barry, thank you. And Walter Fields, what about the concrete relationship between the federal government and housing in New York? I know you put that right at the top of your priorities list, and we heard that soundbite of the HUD Commissioner, Sean Donovan, actually appearing at a New York public housing project and talking about a new deal for public housing in New York. People will remember going all the way back to the Reagan administration when the federal government started to decide that it was not its role as much as in the past to deal with housing or deal with public housing. What's really going to change here? Is it a question of just infusing the system with cash? We know how underfunded public housing in New York is with respect to money that can't even maintain the elevators. Or is it some new approach to housing for the poor in general? Barry asked about Section 8 as well as the Housing Authority. What are we really looking at concretely?
I really think it's all of the above. Certainly it's cash. I think the system has been cash-starved, and I think the reason why Sean Donovan got tremendous applause was because, you know, in years past, there was some bit of hostility towards public housing from our federal government. So to have a housing secretary who was from New York make that statement is a breath of fresh air. I think the other issue becomes a commitment to public housing. You know, the fact remains that for many people, public housing is their only option. And I think we need to have a federal government that recognizes that and respects that and make sure that policies are in place to expand the options available for individuals who need public housing, including Section 8 housing. So I think that, you know, the concrete example will be when you see money start flowing downward from Washington, when you see HUD being cooperative with public housing agencies and cities across the country. But, you know, I do want to back up 1 second and comment on, you know, the previous discussion about the Office of Urban Affairs, Urban Policy, because I think it's an important point that was made. This is a big job. I think Adolfo Carrión is extremely talented. Across the test is whether or not he has the ability to move such a large agenda. But we need to understand how complex a job he has been handed. You know, you're talking about a position that, as described earlier, has to coordinate all of these federal agencies that have some role in our cities, as well as creating the big picture for the president in terms of what his administration should be doing for America's cities. So we shouldn't be, you know, tricked into believing that this is going to be an easy fix or an easy job. This is a tall task.
Agreed.
Lisa in New Rochelle, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lisa. Lisa, are you there? Oh, let me try one more time. Lisa in New Rochelle. Ah, now we have you. Hi, Lisa.
Okay. Hi, Brian. Sean Donovan is an excellent choice if you're talking about housing. This is a sweeping set of suggestions of changes, but the fact of the matter is the problems with housing go back 30 to 40 years with very broad shifts in terms of spending and supporting. And there have been a lot of things that have happened beyond Section 8 and public housing. Public-private partnerships have been extremely successful over the last last two decades, in getting lots of housing built, particularly senior citizens and certain kinds of supportive housing. As an urban historian, however, I'm concerned that there's a lot of rhetoric and a lot of flapping and not a lot of in-depth researching. Appointing somebody in charge of cities is a very, very good thing, but this is not something that's going to happen. New York City is also an exceptional case in terms of American cities. It does not reflect the way most cities in America have operated, and that needs to be taken into consideration. And other cities besides New York need attention.
Thank you, Lisa. Dio Olapati, a last comment before we go.
I agree with that. I think, you know, it is, as Walter said, a big job, and it is something that's going to have to take it on a case-by-case basis. I think that the commitment was there early is good, but we can't rest on symbols alone. I think giving the administration credit for putting together the office without really knowing whether, you know, they're putting tangibles on the table for Americans, especially in a recession where property tax, sales tax, income tax, all of the things that cities thrive on have collapsed, essentially. So we need to keep our eye on this office and make sure that, you know, we're really seeing results soon.
20 seconds. Walter Fields, the second 100 days.
Well, ditto to that comment, and I think the second 100 days are just as important as the first 100, as will be the third 100. Our role is to make sure that we hold this president accountable to do the things that we know are necessary to bring our cities back.
Walter Fields, publisher and executive editor of NorthStarNews.com, Dio Olapati, political reporter for TheRoot.com. Her piece is about the Office of Urban Affairs. Is it just promise that's getting bogged down in bureaucracy? Thank you both very much.
Thank you, Brian.
Lehrer on WNYC. Our Bob Henley will be here in just a minute to break down what really happened with that flyover over Lower Manhattan the other day that scared so many New Yorkers. Stay with us.